Great. Good to see you this morning. I'm glad you guys made it past the Mayan rapture. At least you guys didn't make it. I was thinking, who's going to remain after we all get caught up with the Mayan kind of thing? But we're here, which is good. And, you know, we get caught up with these concepts, and they're good money-making things. I'm from Belize, in the Mayan civilization. The heart of it is right in Belize, so we made out like a bandit. Yeah, we sold a lot of stuff, little trinkets. And you guys bought them all. Yeah. Unleashing your potential, your God-given potential, is such a big topic. I'm like, how do I wrestle this thing today in 24 minutes? I'm going to wrestle this thing, but it's really kind of our theme for next year is really unleashing our God-given potential. And in other words, how do we release what's inherently in us, what's latent in us, that God has created us with this ability, created in His image and likeness, like Him, to see this world changed. That word potential is defined as dormant ability, power untapped, unused, hidden talent, all you can be but have not yet become, all you can do but have not yet done, how far you can reach and have not reached, what you can accomplish, have not yet accomplished. Potential is unexposed ability and latent power. Isn't that like, that's beautiful. How God created us. Unleashing what God has given us is really kind of our driving theme for next year. And today I want to lay kind of a foundation for us to understand that and for us to develop that out. So I want to give you a few things this morning for you to think about as we leave one year, as we enter another year. And I think this is so important for us to consider this issue. It is probably one of the most important issues for us to meditate and consider this idea of God's assignment to us. What is He calling us to do on this planet? You've got maybe 60, 70 years or 80 years, which is a blink. It's a moment in time. And yet, what are you doing with your moment? What are you doing with that little blink between eternities? A pastor once says that life is a moment caught between two eternities. What are you doing with your moment? And yet, God has called us to do something. He's created us with purpose. And the reason why I think it's so important for us to consider it is because as I look at Jesus and what He taught and how He lived His life, it seems like He was, this notion that He was coming back and He was expecting us to invest what He's given us is very, it's all in the Bible. And He talks about how God has invested in us and what He's done for us through His love and grace and mercy and how He's expecting us to use it to make a difference in this world. He told a parable in Matthew 25 of a man. He was really talking about the kingdom of God and about the Father, how a man gave gifts or talents to his servants, and he left, you know, depicting his leaving and saying, here, I give you five talents, I give you two, I give you one. He says, I'm coming back, and I want you to do business with those talents. I want you to use them, and I want you to invest those things. I'm coming back, and there's this idea, this notion that he's coming back, and he's going to check on that investment. Because in the parable, he says he came back one day and he asked the one with two talents, what did you do? He said, I doubled it. God says, well done. How about you with five? He says, I doubled that. God says, well done. Then he asked the man with one. He said, what did you do? He said, I hid it. I was so fearful to use it. I was fearful to risk anything. And some of the harshest words that I read as far as coming out from Jesus' mouth wasn't even to sinners or prostitutes. Matter of fact, his words were calming and hopeful and forgiving. And yet when he spoke to this one servant, he was so harsh with him. He said, you lazy, wicked servant. He said, you're slothful. Literally, he says, you're worthless servant. Wow, that's kind of that's offensive to me. Does that offend you? Jesus offends us. He asked him that. He said, what do you do with the talent? So there's this notion that God is saying, hey guys, I'm coming back. And I'm expecting you to use what I'm giving you. I have created you in my image. I've given you my life. If you're a believer today, he has given himself to you. He is coming to live inside of you. Romans 8, Paul says, the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives inside of you. Think about that. The same Holy Spirit that rose Christ from the dead, Romans 8, 11, you can check on it, lives inside of you. I mean, just think. I mean, there's an expectation that God says, I've given you things and I expect you to work at it. I expect you to do some things with it. I want to lay three foundational truths that I believe lays the foundation for next year or even the rest of your life as you think about what is God calling me to do? What is this life all about anyhow? What's the earth all about? Why do I exist on this planet? I want you to go to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to start there this morning. Genesis chapter 1, where everything started. It's the beginning. It's when God spoke potential, when he spoke his word into a dark. He says the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there is light. So at the beginning we see how God looked at this formless void piece of mass dirt, and God spoke into it. And in the beginning we see God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all working together. The Father spoke the Word. Jesus was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Holy Spirit hovered over the earth, and he executed what the Word said, let there be light, and things happened. And we see God begin to create this world. He created the suns. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but it's a great chapter to read. And how he began to look at and consider how he made the light and the stars and the moon and the sun. And then he created life. Life. In verse 12, he says, the earth brought forth vegetations, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit. God saw that it was good. It was evening, and he talked about everything that he created life. If you study the passage in Genesis, everything that had life multiplied itself. He created the ability within itself to multiply itself. And so he's creating the environment. He created this world. And I want to pause in verse 26 when he created man. Listen to what he says in verse 26. After he created all these things and he commanded all of them to be blessed and multiply, he said, and God said, let us make man in our image. Think about the conversation they're having. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the us. It's like they had a meeting. So let us make man. So he created this environment, this beautiful environment, this earth. He said, let us make man in our image. Let them rule. Listen to the conversation very intently. It's so important that we listen in to this conversation, because this conversation tells us a lot about creation and God's intent. Let us make man, let them rule. You see? Let us make man in our image and likeness. Let's fill him with us, and then we'll give him a planet and let them rule. I love that. Let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps in the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created male and female. He created them. Then he tells them. Here's what he tells them. It's called the lost command. He speaks to them what we call a mandate back in Genesis. And he tells them this in verse 27, verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then God said, behold, I've given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I've given every plant for food. And it was so. And God saw all he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Let me go to two verses in chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their hosts. By the seventh day, God completed his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. Powerful. Here we have it, the beginning. The mandate he gave us. Here's the number one simple but very foundational truth which we're going to lay in our lives and in our year coming forward, moving forward. Here's number one. It's not on your notes. You can write it down. The earth was created. This is very important. I know you might say, well, I get that. I want you to meditate on this. The earth was created in a state of potential. That's it. He finished. He says, I'm done. After 7 days, 6 days, he rested on the seventh. He said, I'm done. I'm finished. Everything that God wanted us to develop out, Everything that was to be was in that first created order. And if you think about it, it was simply a garden. About 150 miles north is perceived, as said by scholars, north of the Persian Gulf. Right in the middle of the Tigris, Euphrates River was the Garden of Eden, probably washed away with the flood. But there was God created this place called the Garden of Eden. He created a universe, the sun, the stars, and he created this plot of soil he cultivated called the Garden of Eden. And in there, he created and he placed within that garden everything that we know today that was developed out. He had Tokyo, the city of Tokyo, in that garden. And the city of maybe São Paulo, Mexico City, the beach cities of the world. You know, it was in that garden. Somehow, in that garden was the potential that we see today. Isn't that amazing? How God created this, and he said, listen, here, I'm done, you. Second point, God created male and female to develop its potential. So God gave man a garden, but in that garden was in a state of potential. Everything we know about was in that garden. Potential was there. A simple fact, let me just give you an example. For example, the internet. Do you know the internet was present in the garden? It just took us 2,000 years to discover it. It wasn't like God, you know, a couple years ago said, great idea, let me create something called the internet. No, he rested. He said, I'm finished. I no longer, man, now, you're called to develop and rule the earth. So why do I say that? Simple. When God said, let there be light, you see, the internet at its very core is really man's discovery of how we can move information through light. That light was a transportation system that we can use light to move words and pictures through. And we discovered how to do that. We break things down, right? I think it's called the X's and O's, but we break things down, we transmit it through light, and it pops up on the other side of the world in seconds, and it's built back up. It's we found a way to use light and to transmit information, and therefore the birth of the internet, which has changed the landscape of our world. Completely reshaped our world today as we know it, and will in the future reshape it even more. But that was in the garden. God developed the earth in a state of potential, and then he asked us, listen, he said, you, let them rule, let them develop it. In chapter 2, he says, let them cultivate it, let them grow it, let them figure out stuff. Solomon says that it's God's wisdom to hide a matter. He said it's the glory of man to discover it. Like God has this thing going, I want to see my kids find this out. Discovery. See, discovery is in our very gene that we love to discover. Why do you think we like? People go, why do you spend all this money going to the moon? Why do we build a Hubble satellite? Because we want to see what's in way in the deep. Why? Because it's part of God in us. This discovery, development of our potential. And God's given us all that mandate. Listen to what he says. Be fruitful, he told the man. Multiply. Be fruitful is the idea of bearing much fruit. Increase. So God tells Adam and Eve, I want you to increase. I want you to multiply. Enlarge yourself. Become exceedingly great. Abundance. Replenish. Fill the earth. That word fill means fill and to be filled. Greater outflow. Abundance. All these words is about abundance and increase. Subdue, bring into subjection, dominate things, rule. Boy, wow. Think about that. I mean, God created Adam and Eve and says, here, you are my kids. I put my image, my likeness in you. I've given you myself. I want you to take this planet and I want you to be fruitful. I want you to multiply. I want you to fill the earth. I want you to subdue. I want you to take dominion. That's what he told us to do. Yeah, of course, sin came in. You say, well, Omar, what's with sin? Well, yeah. Do you think God was taken by surprise when sin came in? Do you think he got shocked? Like, oh, wow, I got to change my plans here. I didn't see this coming. No. The Bible says that Jesus, the Lamb of God, was slain before the foundations of the world. Before God created a planet, Jesus says, I'll know they'll fail, but I'll recover them because our intent is sons and daughters that look like us, act like us, so that they can rule the earth. because that's what I want him to do. That's their purpose. I want him to develop this plan. God loves this earth. He loves it. I think the church is confused with destiny and assignment. You know, our destiny is heaven one day. One day we will live with him forever, Revelation says. But we have an assignment today. That is our assignment. It is a mandate from God. He never changed his mind. Jesus came to recover us and to fill us again with his presence so we can go about doing what he told us to do in Genesis chapter 1. The key is that God created man and woman, man and female to develop his potential. That's what he did. Here's the third, that the secret of development is found in this idea called the seed we find in Genesis chapter 1. That everything he created that had life had the ability to multiply itself because he gave it an inherent quality called the bearing of seed. That development was hidden in this idea and concept of seed time. We live by it every day. We might not recognize it or articulate it, but I'm telling you, this is a foundational principle in life because this life is not some random, it's not some little piece of earth randomly going through the sky and things happening by accident. There is foundational principles that guide this universe, that if we obey them, we succeed. If we don't, we reap the consequences of it. This understanding of seed and how it works is so key to us to understand development. As we enter 2013 and we continue talking about what does it mean to develop our potential, unleash what God has given us, this idea is very important for us to meditate on because in this idea of seed where God hid development in the seed. There's a professor, his name is Lawrence Copeland, Ohio State, says this. He's a seed scientist. Do you know there's seed scientists? He studies seed. Well, I was a seed scientist. He said this, seed is a microcosm of life. Everything that life and understanding says resides in the seed. You know, God used that principle throughout the whole scripture. We find this concept of seed as God begins to try to help us understand how things work. Right after Adam and Eve fell and sinned, the Bible says in Genesis 3:15 that God had a recovery plan that was put in effect immediately. See, he knew that his sons and daughters would go astray. He had a recovery plan planned already. And Jesus, before the foundations of the world, said, I'll recover them, Father. I will go, and I will die for them so we can recover sons and daughters. But in Genesis 3:15, he says, and I will put enmity, Jesus, God said to the snake. He said, I will put an enemy between your seed and her seed. He said, and you, your seed, told Satan, will bruise his heel, but her seed will crush your head. In that passage was the prophetic word of what Jesus was going to do on the cross. When Colossians says, on the cross, he stripped the enemy from all his power and he crushed his head forever. And he used a metaphor, the concept of seed. Seed, he said, your seed will crush his head. Your seed. Abraham, in your seed, all the nations of the world will be blessed. In your seed. Galatians 3:16, and to your seed, who is Christ? Christ is called the seed of God. Seed time. It is foundational. It's this planting and sowing that what creates development in our lives. Whatever we give, we reap. This rhythm of life that goes give and receive, planting, reaping is what is foundational to development. You know the reason why nations don't develop like my nation called Belize or Africa? You know why? I'll tell you why. They don't develop because we give them food when we should be giving them seed. See? We go there with our food, and so we don't teach them how to really cultivate the earth. We give them food. And we say, here's food. And it runs out, and they come back going, give me more. And it runs out, and they go, give me more. And I said, no, let's teach them how to plant. And you'll feed them forever. When God rebooted the universe, he reset it. Remember in Genesis 8? Yeah, he said, this is it. This world's gone bad. He said, I'm going to destroy it. But he found a family called Noah and his family. He said, no, well, he repented from it. He says, I found a good seed. I'm going to start over again with this family. I'm going to start over. And God destroyed this this plant with water, but he saved this family in Genesis 22, 18. And then they, after all the 40 days, and they came out of the ark, and God said, okay, let's start over again. He gave them the same command he gave Adam. Go out, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, take dominion. And here's what God says, and he told Noah, he says, I'm leaving four major things on this earth. As I reset it, here are four things that remains on the earth, he goes. One is night and day. He says, we're going to leave night and day. That's a good thing. Night and day. One's rest, the rhythm of rest and work. We need that. Two, he says, I'll leave summer and winter. I'll leave that. Three, he says, I'll leave cold and hot. All these are environmental things, right? Night, day. He says, and the fourth one, he says, and I'm leaving seed time and harvest. Out of all those four major principles, the one that speaks of development and increase is the seed time and harvest. There we have it again. It's in the universe. It's seed, it's how we plant. That's why this idea of seed is so important to us. 1 Peter 1:23 says, you are born again of incorruptible seed. You are not born again of corruptible seed, but with incorruptible, even our salvation, even the way we get born again. Peter refers it as God planting his seed in our lives. Seed. It's so important for us to understand this principle of seed. Because, you know, if I had a, if you hold up a seed, for example, and I ask you, I don't know if we have that slide, I didn't show the first one, this is a different sermon I'm preaching to you. But if I show you this and I ask you, what do you see? What do you see, Nathan? What do you see? You see an acorn. What do you see? You see an acorn. What do you see?
Acorn.
Potential. Huh. They say acorn. Anybody else see something else in that seed? A tree. Who said tree? See a tree. There's a tree in that seed. See, it's how you see things. But then what else do you see in that tree? Squirrel. There goes my metaphor. You know, it always breaks down somewhere. What do you see? What does that seed, that tree produce? What's more acorns? Lots of acorns. I mean, you go there and you see. What do you see? More. What do you see after this? Ah. See, he just saw an acorn. See, he's limited in his sight. He can't see beyond the seed. That's like our lives, right? So we're caught up in the seed. We don't see the God-given potential in that one seed. We can see, but we have no sight. That's the reason why Paul would always pray, Lord, let the eyes of their understanding be enlightened. Paul was always saying, God, let them see what I see. Because all they're looking at is seed, and they don't see the forest. See. The ability to see beyond the seed. But that in the seed, there's a harvest. The potential is in the seed. That principle runs throughout Scripture. Your kids are called seeds. The generations. When you see a child, do you see a child? Or do you see a village? See, it's sight. That everything that has the power to reproduce itself is there. And this idea of seed, guys, is so important for us to understand. And there's many principles that really undergird this idea of seed that really speaks to life. And I can't have time to share all of them today, but actually none of them, but you know them. And we'll talk about this next year. This is our theme for next year. We'll be focused on this. How do you unleash and release God's potential? And we've been, Northwood is known, and Bob preaches this so often. But we're going to go deep and figure out how do we release this potential. What is God saying? This idea of seed. Let me give you three challenges. I'm going to end. Three challenges real quickly for you as we leave one year, as we enter another year. Here's the first one. You've got to pursue potential. It doesn't just happen. See, a seed left to itself will never produce a forest. What do I have to do with the seed? I have to plant it. I have to put it in the soil. I've got to pursue it. You have to make a decision that you're going to pursue the potential God has given you, that you believe that God has given you gifts and talents that's uniquely you. And you're to be active and intentional about saying, God, how have you created me and how can I develop this potential? So one day when you come to me and you say, what did you do with those talents? You can say, God, I doubled it. I used it. Pursue. Make a decision to pursue. This year we're creating our men's movement. I'm calling it a movement, not even a ministry. A movement. Beyond Northwood, move out. Where we're challenging men to help each other, because you can't, really, we can't develop potential without the community. So we do it in community life. We're the body of Christ. An arm can't develop unless it's attached to the body. Marriage. Dealing with marriages and mentoring marriages. And sales and all these things, we've got to pursue it. You've got to make a decision to pursue it. Two, you've got to plant potential. There's an action. You have to do something. You have to do something. You have to plant it. The third is you've got to cultivate potential. You got to cultivate it. You have to be diligent with that potential. You got to be diligent with it. You got to work it. Diligence is key to development. What God's calling you to do next year. You've got to pursue it. He's given you dreams in your heart. You have it. It's inside of you. It's God-given dreams. God-given dreams to impact your domains, to travel the world, to do something to help mankind. You got to plant it. Plant good seeds. I'll give you one principle of seed. One. This is probably one of the most important principles of seed. It's found in Genesis 1. Here it is. Like begets like. Everything he created with seed produced after its kind. You get that? You know what that means? God is not mocked. Galatians says, God, you can't mock God. America can't mock God. We can't mock him. He said, I'm not mocked. Whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. It's nothing by accident. It's not fair, God. What do you mean it's not fair? You planted that seed. You want to change it? You have the ability to change it. Plant different seeds. That's how you change it. Reverse it. Like begets like. Cultivate it. There's many other principles that we'll be exploring next year as to how seed works. That's one of them. You plant orange seed, you get orange. You don't get bananas. People want to plant lemon and reap sweet oranges. Not possible. Not possible. You want to sow your life, you want to reap a life full of joy and fulfillment and potential, you've got to sow those seeds. And you'll reap it. So powerful. And I want to challenge you as we leave 2012, entering 2013, this idea of saying, God, I want to pursue what's in me, how you created me, and I want to develop it, Lord. Because I only have a few years to live, and I want to make a difference. I want to plant it so that it multiplies out in the earth. And Lord, I'm going to be diligent with my life. I will be diligent. That's my challenge to you.